This morning, I want to continue with the sermon that I was doing, God is Never Late. And this morning, I want to talk about God who always provides. God always provides. Can we say God always provides? I like that. It was better than last Sunday. So we're getting there, right? And Genesis 22. I'm going to preach from Genesis 22, 7 to 14. Some of you that loves the good old Bible can open there. Otherwise, we have the YouVersion to follow. The thing that I want to talk to our church is to introduce the God that I worship. I'm not talking about that He's not your God. But I want to talk about the God that I know, the Father that loves me, the God who takes care of me and my wife and my children, and how the Word of God that we read has come alive in our lives. That's the God that I want to introduce to you this morning. The God that walks by us every day, the God who comes alongside us and journey with us. That's the God that I want to talk about. You know, and I know that you will encounter that God from the Bible in your own way. But I want you to know that God is alive and He is real. Like, I'm feeling it now, okay? So if I get excited today, you know, okay, that I'm drunk in the Spirit. Is that okay? Yeah? All right, I have your permission. So I want to start with, is God enough? Is God enough for you in your life? I want to start with that. And then, for me, everything that I have in my life, everything that I own, everything that I have has been given to me by God. I cannot count anything that I've made it on my own. Everything I have, God has given to me. So look to God for daily provision. Look to God for daily provision. Because Isaac and Abraham was going up on the mountain, and the son is saying, where's the wood? Where's the lamb? How are we going to offer this burnt offering? Genesis 22, verse 6 and 8. And you know what Abraham said? God will provide. God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering. In the winter of 2000, I found myself standing alone in O'Hare International Airport. By the way, there's big snow in Chicago. In Wisconsin and in Fort Wayne, where I was, in Michigan, there's big snow there. And I came in winter. In January, I landed there. And I came out of, I took my luggage and came out at the airport and looking for familiar faces, and there was nobody. There was nobody. Because we were a day late. I was a day late. My flight was canceled because of the fog in New Delhi. And I stayed in Frankfurt for a day in Germany. So when I came, it was Sunday. I was supposed to arrive on Saturday. There was nobody. I didn't know what to do, so I looked around and I took my two suitcases and went out hoping that there might be somebody on the curb waiting for me. I went out with my suitcase, the door open. You know what happened? I ran inside. My ear was going to fall off my head. Welcome to Chicago winterland. It was so painful. Because before I was thinking, when I was looking at, you know, I said, you know, people in Chicago, they have a weird sense of fashion. Right? Why would they wear some hairy stuff on their ear? See, right? Big hairy stuff on their ear. This was some weird fashion statement there. It wasn't funny anymore. Because I was... I wish I had one of those. And so I didn't know what to do, and I'm starting to pray. And phone call. I got to make a phone call. I didn't have any cell phone. I look around. There are public phones there, and probably you need like coins, right? And I didn't have coins. I had $20 in my pocket. And I was feeling awesome. Somebody knows those songs. Not this side, all right? Yeah. And so I went with the $20. Every store there in the airport said, can I have a change? I say, no, nobody gave me a change for $20. I realize it's a big change for $20. So I didn't know what to do. Around that time, an African-American woman came by. And she said, can you help me? He said, what do you need? I said, I need coins. She gave me her coins. And she even told me how, showed me how to dial the phone. It's a little different. I'm new in the country there. And I called. There was a ring on the other end and a voicemail. It's a seminary. I'm going to a seminary. It's a Sunday. It's close here. Nobody was there in the seminary. I'm thinking here, aren't people supposed to be in seminary, in a theological place? People should be brimming there, ready to worship the Lord. Nobody is there. I went and to the information booth and I got a cap. I gave the address, please take me here. This guy was from Belgium. Anyone from Belgium? Not yet, right? The Lord will send one, right? So he took me and he dropped me off in the middle of the campus. This is it. I took my two suitcases, I'm pulling and standing in the middle of the campus not knowing where to go. I'm just pulling around here, going everywhere. Doors were locked. I tried many doors. Then I went to one door, it was open. It was like a cafeteria. And I happened to be standing in the middle of the room. And when I realized that I was standing by a trash can, big trash can, and the lid was open and hanging because full, I stood there and I took a peek, and there was food, all kinds of food, bread, and they had dumped it there without being opened, you know, unopened bread. And then as I stood there, I heard a voice, like one of those voices that you can, and God telling me, you will never go hungry in America. When I was alone there, not knowing where to go, standing by a dumb trash bin, God told me, you will never go hungry in America. I have never begged for food since the day I arrived in America. He has provided for me. God is enough for me. I walked out the door, not knowing where to go, and there was a lady that came out of one of the apartment door. I ran to her, and I need help. And she happens to be the student services director, right? And she said, I need help. I am Unreso Valui from coming from New Delhi for the same. Oh, we've been waiting for you. Really? Thank you. What a welcome, right? But God provided for me. You know, God has been good to me. Our life is a faith journey. We learned that from Abraham and Isaac. See, the journey to the region in Moriah, to the land of Moriah, where they were going to sacrifice, it wasn't an easy journey. It was difficult, especially for Abraham. They have to go through the valley. Literal valley, but the valley in the life. Not only the valley, they have to climb. They have to climb. They have to climb the mountains. So trust God when we walk through the valley of life. Because we know that He will feed us on the mountaintop. How many of you are walking through the valley this morning? See? I'm telling you. On the mountaintop, God has prepared for us. But we have to walk through the valley to go to the mountain. We have to walk through the valley. The faith journey, this is a faith journey to remember, Abraham and Isaac. The story is intense for me. It's like a thriller. See, there are many life lessons that we can draw from this story. But one of them is worship. They're going to worship the Lord. And giving a burnt offering is an ultimate act of worship, my friends. The Father and Son is going to a worship place. And the Son is asking, are we there yet? How are we going to worship? It's a life lesson that the Father taught to His Son. The Father's telling the Son, God will provide. He didn't tell the Son when they were going to a worship. He said, this God is so unfair. The God that I worship, He promised me a son. He said that my descendants were going to be many, that my nations were going to be great. Now He's telling me to go and sacrifice you. What kind of a God? He didn't tell that to Isaac. He wasn't complaining on the way to worship. He was telling, God will provide my son, even though his heart was burning and breaking. Even though he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he was trusting the Lord to provide. And he's saying, God is enough. My son, God is enough. We are going to worship regardless of our circumstances. You see, my friends, our worship to God is not dictated by our circumstances. It should be directed by who God is, that God provides always. It's not about us, it's about God. It's about the great God that we worship. And if you walk through the valley today, it doesn't mean God is defeated. It's God is small. It's because He wants you to take to another mountain. God takes us through serious mountains in our lives. You may be in one mountaintop today, and you see a higher elevated mountain over there. But in order to get to that mountain, what you should do, what you will be doing, you'll be climbing down the mountain, walking through the valley, and climb up to go to the other mountain. If you're walking in the valley today, maybe God is taking you to take to a higher mountaintop. God is enough. God is enough, my friends. I lived in an apartment provided by my seminary. One-room apartment. After staying there for a while, I went back to New Delhi. My wife was on the way to do her PhD at the JNU, Jawaharlal Nehru University, one of the best premier universities in India. And so we get married. We got back here to our room. The first day that we had the meal there, our dining table was a carton box. We had taken out stuff, flipped it, the flat top, that was our dining table. We sat on the floor, and we shared from a McDonald's cup. I didn't know where that McDonald's cup, but we sat on the floor, we drank from the McDonald's cup, we ate with a carton box as a dining table. You know, but my wife never looked at me and said, where have you brought me? She didn't make me feel small. She gave me joy. It's like, you know, God's enough for me. God's enough for me. But we have never gone hungry. We have never gone hungry from the McDonald's to the garden box. We have never gone hungry in this land. God has provided for us. We needed a car. My friend had an old Oldsmobile. Sunday morning, we'll try very hard to start that car. Sometimes we'll push to go to church. One day, I was working at Green Lake, Wisconsin, Green Lake Conference Center as multicultural staff. One of my friends, a seminary friend, called me, hey, Valui, do you need a car? Yeah, I do. He said, I have a car for you. So I came back, and it was a Honda Prelude. Honda Prelude, black. So fast, you know. I said, okay, we got a car. I came to his parents' house. The mother and father was there. The title were already prepared, and they both signed. Mom and dad signed and gave the title to me. I asked him, sir, you know, how much do I owe you? $1. $1. I said, what? $1? Yeah, it's an American thing. I need a dollar from you, so you have made the purchase. Wow, the Lord provided a fast sports car for a dollar. My wife and I got pregnant. I'm still pregnant. So we had the baby. Now that Honda Prelude is not a four-door car. It's a coupe. You know, it's hard to get in car seat, you know. He called us again, say, come to our house. Say, we went there. You need a car. Yeah, we do, four-door car. There was a title on the dining table. Both the husband and wife signed. Honda Civic. Honda Civic car, right? Say, here's the car. I said, yeah, but how much is it? How much do I owe you?
$1.
Thank you. $1. We got two cars for $1. $2. Is God enough? He is for me. God is enough for me. Is God enough for you? Look to God for provision. Trust in the Lord when we walk through the steeps of the valley of life. He's going to feed us on the mountaintop. Now, the next one I want to say is listen to God for direction. Because God spoke to Abraham and said, don't kill your son. He lifted his eyes, and behind him was a ram caught in the thicket. Trust in the Lord when you climb through the steeps of life. God knows what is on the other side of the mountain. Do you think Abraham knew that a ram was provided on the other side of the mountain already? He didn't know. He trusted God. So, my friends, when we are climbing a mountain of life, the steeps of life, we complain and say, oh, it's so tiring. It's so hard, Lord. Why me? Because we don't know that on the other side of the mountain is a ram provided already. But God knows that already. When we came here for candidating week, Sharon and Jerry called us out for a dinner. And she made a fine chicken with zucchini sautéed with, you know, we love that. Our family love and we enjoyed. In our course of our conversation, we were talking about, you know, we don't know where to live here in this area. We don't know whether we should buy or rent. And I didn't know what happened within that 1, 2, 3 minutes, because I didn't know Jerry and Sharon huddling and talking or anything. But Jerry said, come and stay with us. I look at Sharon and they're already agreeing, you know. Wow, there's some mental telepathy going on here. And I said, we got 5 rooms. We'll give you 3 rooms. Come and stay. And my wife and we say, thank you, but no thank you. I mean, I have 3 kids, 5 of us staying with the family. It's a hard work. I'm not going to take somebody's kindness for granted or to manipulate somebody's kindness. We were not going to do that. So thank you, but we wouldn't do that. We went home. We looked around. All the church was involved, in fact. Even Joel sent out the email to everybody to look for a house for us or an apartment. We went around circle. We didn't come to a good place, financially wise place to make or to stay in some place. We're going to make huge loss, make bad financial decisions. It was during that time that my wife led our family prayer time. Every evening we pray. And she was talking about the journey of Israelites and Moses in the wilderness and how these obeyed God, so they went round and round and round. And we were going in circle. God imprinted in our heart that we were going in circle. We prayed that night and we wrote to Jerry, said, Jerry, is that offer still open? And he said, yes, you can stay in our house till December 14th. Because our girls are coming from the college. Said, yes, we'll come and stay with you. We didn't know where, how, when our house in Indiana was going to sell, when we were going to buy the house. When we came here, we sold our house, and the owner there, the buyer said they would close on December 15th. See? December 15th. So I'm thinking, did Jerry go around and work all this out? You know, you never know Jerry. He's like, psh, 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 psh. Possible, possible, right? Possible. Let's say December 14th. I mean, it's just, we are here till December 14th, but on December 15th, we have a place to stay. God's enough for me. See, God is enough for me. And to have a stranger taking a stranger to their house, God's enough for me. Sharon and Jerry, we have not known each other. First time we met was in July of this year. Just to say, come and live with us. Very few people would do that. But they did it to us. And God spoke to us that I'm enough for you. I have prepared a ram for you on the other side of the mountain. That's the God that I serve. That's the God that I want my kids to know. Because we have taken alongside with him and say, look and see how the Lord will provide for us. We have included my two sons and my daughter in this prayer, so I want them to know what kind of a God has prepared a ram and a burnt offering for us in this new land, in this new place. God has been good to us. God has been good to us. My wife shared from the beginning, when we were praying to come here, she saw the Red Sea. Crossing the Red Sea in her dream, and she woke up and told our family that our going to Santa Clara and the First Baptist Church would be like crossing the Red Sea. And it has been nothing short of a miracle, I'm telling you, our church. It has been nothing short of a miracle. It has been difficult, but it has been nothing short of a miracle for us. God has opened the door, had us made on a dry path, walk on a dry path. He's been good to us. So we were out there on the first day looking for a house. And Jonathan came with us. Jonathan came and said, we'll go with you. We'll go look the house with you. We went there. The first house was in Brown Avenue or something. We look at the house was good. I like it. We came out and stood at the door, and I turned to Jonathan and said, Jonathan, I saw a dream. In my dream, I saw a house. It is after the church, after the high school, and there was another highway, but it's in between the highway and the road after the high school. Huh? Oh, he said, is it, what's an expressway? I said, no, just I saw a highway. Later on, I know it's a St. Thomas Expressway. And this is Kylie Boulevard. The house that we bought is in Kylie, in between St. Thomas. Look to God. Lean on God for edification. When Abraham looked, the ram was there, and he said, the Lord will provide. On this mountain, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. When we came to Fort Wayne, we have never seen that city before. We have never walked in that place. We don't know where we will stay. And as we were praying, asking the Lord to lead us to a place where we will stay, I was working. My wife was volunteering for a year without being paid, and she was working full time at the church. About that time, we found a house. And we also found that the city was giving us the city was having a project where they would give out grant for a place to stay in certain zip code. And we qualified for that. When we applied, I went and applied. I went through the classes. And I qualified for by $50. If my wife was getting salary, we wouldn't have qualified. We were given the highest grant in that city at that time, and that was our down payment. When we closed the house, I used $500 out of my pocket to have the house that we have in Indiana. I look at my wife and say, "This is your house for working for the kingdom of God for free for a year." We had a big house there. And to come to Santa Clara to own a house, it was almost like impossible. How are we going to have a house here? And we had a budget, and we wanted to stay in Santa Clara. But God made it possible. You know, through the Clevenger family, what wisdom God has given to them that ministers can come and have a house here. And the generosity of the church. I want to thank Joel and the board under their leadership. My wife still cannot believe that you work out such a plan for us to have a house. She said, "Are you sure this is what they say? You know, are you really sure that this is going to work out this way?" She knows that, but she's just asking how the Lord can work out for us. When the first pilgrim came, out of the 104 people that came, 42 people died the first winter. 42 people died the first winter. And when they saw the native Indian, they were scared of them. But the first word that came out from the native Indian to these pilgrims was what? Welcome. Can we say welcome?
Welcome.
Yes. That's how we felt at this church. We were welcome. You welcome us with your gift card. Safeway, Chili. You brought us food. You call us to your house for food. I cannot thank God enough. He's good. He's really, really good. That's the God that I know. That's the God that I worship. I don't know what God is like to you. I hope He is good to you all the time. We're going to call the worship team to come up, so we can worship together and think about . And I'm going to use the socks and clean it later. Because you guys made me emotional. Praise the Lord. Think about God as we prepare to worship, and how He is relevant to you in your life. What kind of a God you worship? I know we have a potluck later on, but I'm going to be there standing. And you want to know the God that I worship. You want to know about Him. And you're thinking, "I want to follow this God. I want to know more about Him. I want to be there for you and welcome you." And God's there saying, "Welcome, I've been waiting for you." You want to know more about this church, this great church. And you say, "I want to be a part of this church and do great things for the Lord, but I don't know how. I want to be there." and say, this is how we can serve in the kingdom of God.